Welcome to Politics Done Right. My name is Egberto Willis, your host. Good morning, Houston. Good morning, Harris County. Good morning to the great state of Texas. Good morning to the United States of America. Good morning to every nook and cranny where that 100,000-watt transmitter gets into the FM radios of the millions that are still using this form of communications. Well, folks, we have a great show for you today. Of course, welcome to the world. Welcome to the world. Good morning to the world. We're going to have a great program for you today. We're going to be starting with an interesting story. Well, actually, an interesting ad I found. But before we get there, we want to welcome back the one and only Jack, who we missed dearly on Friday. And we want to throw it to the studio with El Señor Howard E. Jack.
Boy, no kidding. I miss this man.
Well,
I actually had to do the work myself. This Jack does all the work around here, and I really just come down and go, okay, it's time to go on. Turn my mic on.
Yeah, he does the side work.
Well, you know what? You know what? We were missing that word of the day, so I really hope after Howard is done with his rant, assuming he has a rant today, that we're going to have a good word of the day that's going to get me in on my right kilter.
I am not sure that I have a rant. I have an irritation. Here we go again with our Congress writing laws that are just plain stupid and misleading. Okay, now the aid for Israel, which I oppose, and the Ukraine, which I don't oppose, contains within it a ban on TikTok. Oh, here we go again. Let's package it with something that is very important. That's like writing a bill for milk for children. Now, who's going to vote against that? But packed deeply inside that bill of about 1,000 pages is something so heinous that they couldn't get it passed on its own, so they have to include it in another bill. Here we go again. When are we going to get rid of these people?
That's how they trick us.
That's how they steal from us. That's how they trick us. That's how they run their own agendas. It just irritates me to no end. So I have an irritation this morning, and I've got to do a legal ID for us all because I forgot to put one in the stack. It's KPFT Houston, 90.1. We're down in Galveston at 89.5 and up in Huntsville at 89.7. That is your legal ID. And Jack, what is your word for the day?
Well, this word is close pretty much to what you were talking about. You know, we kind of got a three-way going up there in government and business and stuff. Fascism, government, and religion, three entities and ideologies that should never be mixed. But here in America, that's exactly what we're doing. In time, with a Supreme Court that has been bought and paid for by the corporate fascist, you will lose more and more of your rights, more and more of your freedoms. Fascism is an animal that only knows hunger, and it will devour all. Even itself.
What kind of an animal?
I don't have a name for that one yet.
There probably isn't one. Governmentus bitus sucketh your blood.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definite vampires.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for the time, Egberto. And now let's get on to a very good show that I know we're going to hear.
Yes, we have a great show in stock. You know, last night, as I was, I was vlogging, including preparing some items for the program today, I had seen a friend. I saw him after not seeing him for a couple months. And, when I saw him, he was a bit thin. And, we were talking and he said, "You don't know what happened, right?" And I said, "No." And what happened was that he just went in for a test, and he asked for this test actually at the doctor's office, and they gave it to him and found out that he had some blockage in his heart, and he had, I think, either triple or quadruple bypass. And I felt really bad because I try to keep in touch with our activists that do things together and act up together. And for some reason, we were out of touch for 2 months, and I just felt bad. So I made it my business to start calling folks or texting folks or emailing folks that I haven't heard of in a month in our business and just check out on how they were doing. And that I'm talking about this because of what Jack brought up about, you know, how sometimes we feel like what's going to happen and what Howard says, when are things going to change? And we started to talk about all the things that we know needed to get done. And at the end of the conversation, what we all concluded is that it's, you know, we have to pretty much take the blame away from the politicians and the oligarchs and all of that and start looking in the mirror and start doing our job. And I think a good start is what we are doing here. A good start is what many other folks in the independent media is doing, and that is going out there and trying to have that conversation with everybody. And I'm not talking about, oh, just talking down the folks you don't like, MAGA talking down the libtards talking down MAGA. And look, what we started to talk about is that, look, if you go ahead and start to figure out item for item what you want for your families, etc., if you just start to figure out the things that you need in your life, you start to realize rather quickly that most of us, and I know sometimes it sounds cliche, but when you take a look at it from an operational standpoint, most of us need the same identical things. Most of us want the same identical things. And the things that actually we fight about, the things that we allow ourselves to split about, are very, very few. They may be large. I mean, an issue like abortion splits people. The thing when we talk about small government, big government, that really doesn't, that may split people because of how it's framed, but it never really matters if what you're looking at is what you want. The corporatocracy would try to make you believe like big government versus small government is really an issue. That's not the case. And even the honesty about the issue, about these issues, about government involvement or not, is never the case. If you doubt it, if we take a look at something Republicans always talk about, and that is, we want government out of your lives, but right now they are deep in your lives in banning books, controlling a woman's body, telling you what kind of schools you can go to, telling you what kind of speech you can have, all these things, but we want government out of your life. And I could give a couple of issues as well on the progressive side, where every so often you find these inconsistencies as well. And these inconsistencies are not usually from the rank and file Democrat, the rank and file progressive, the rank and file Republican. These are generally inconsistencies from people within the parties itself. A good one is some people would refuse when we come up with some monikers like defund the police, etc. That is never what the average American, whether it be progressive or whatever we talk about, wants. It is generally it's generally placed in a manner that provides friction between people instead of working together. Example. You know, people would look at progressives, you guys are all in the defund the cops movement. No, we're in the movement that says, let cops do what cops do best, and let's create, move monies from where cops really don't belong and put it into services that really serve the community. And guess what? Everybody would like that, because, you know, things like mental health, things like family violence and all of that doesn't have a propensity for either progressive or a propensity for Republicans. It's just a human thing, right? So if we logically start to look at all the things that we believe in, that we want, the things that we need, it's amazing how similar they are. Now, there is a reason why it is so polarized right now. And that is, polarization is in the interest of a small group of people, our oligarchy, our plutocracy, the wealthy. And why is that the case? Why is keeping the masses at each other's throats so important? It is important because there's a lot of you out there. There are a lot of us's out there. There are a lot of us that are just Republicans, Democrats, independents, progressives. There are a lot of us out there. That's most of us. And there is one class out there, that wealthy class, that and you know, we can call it the one percenters, but I'd even drop it down to the 10 percenters. But it's most of the one percenters. There are not many of them. And if we all got together, all of us, and determined and realized that, and it all breaks down to an economic system, and realize that our economic system is skewed. And I'm not talking about the cliche about it being rigged, though it is factually a rigged system, but it is rigged to have the few use the rest of us as indentured servants. I mean, it's hard to look at most of us and feel we're an indentured servants. But if you live paycheck to paycheck, at the same time, you have a class that's telling you, if we pay you more, we'll reduce the workforce, or it'll cost us too much. Or if we look at those issues, then we have to ask the questions, who do we serve? Are we really free? There are a lot of questions that you start asking. But if you're so busy, concerned about that guy banning your books, or that person doing this, the fund and the cops, or this other fund's putting your health at risk, if you're so worried about those particular issues, you can't see that the genesis, the cause of these issues, are we really a foundation of an economic system that depends on that type of friction between people? It depends on your indentured servitude. It depends on making money after on somebody else's back. When we say something like, I let my money work for me. Look, I don't mind people making interest or a little bit of capital appreciation and all of that in a well-run run economy. But think about what it really means when somebody says, I let my money work for me. All of us have said it before, or many of us have said it before. Anytime you say that phrase, understand what it's actually saying. Understand that you're saying you are ensuring that you can sit down at a particular time when somebody, you're skimming somebody else's labor. And I'm not saying, look, I'm saying if we are all skimming each other's labor, which is the definition of society, it's okay, right? Because I may work hard today, and while somebody else is taking a vacation, or somebody else is sick, or, you know, all of that, it happens, right? But in the aggregate, we're all working towards one goal, a society that works, a society that's meaningful to all of us, a society that even constitutionally gives us joy, right? The well-being of everybody is constitutional, right? But that's not what we have. It's a complete dichotomy. It is something that's just not there. And for it not being there, we have to make sure that there are frictions among us. Powell Memo talks about how the business class has to do it to maintain control, to keep you at odds with each other, to make sure that you don't respect your neighbor, to make sure that you don't respect others of a different culture. It's all there. These are all tools. When I tell people that, you know, why I think racism is stupid, from a biological standpoint, that's quite evident. But from a social standpoint, it is designed not for the racist or the aggrieved, but it is designed to keep a group of folks at each other's throat so that a very minute amount of folks stay on top. There's a, I saw an ad this weekend that upset me, and I did a little piece on it that I want to start the program with. But today's program is titled Representative Tony Gonzalez Slams MAGA Hearing Aid Scam, Congressional Progressive Caucus Agenda. Texas Republican Tony Gonzalez called out MTG and her posse like no other. I saw a hearing aid ad that seemed like a scam. And progressives have an agenda that all should read. And it is written. Before I play the video for the first topic, let me go ahead and bring Brother Harry into the discussion, who is already waiting. By the way, folks, the telephone number is 713-526-5738. Again, that number is 713-526-5738. And call at will. Come on in, Harry. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, hermano, El Profesor Humberto Willis.
Buenos dias, hermanos.
Muy bien. I trust that you and your wife, Laura, and your daughter, Ashley, are doing well and just enjoying life. And good morning to Jack Vandemmer. When I spoke to him earlier, I'm glad that he's over his dental problem with his teeth being pulled. You know, that happens in life. I told him before I got on air here, my dad was a dentist in his second career after he got out of the Air Force. I remember when he pulled my wisdom teeth and I was bleeding for 3 days. And good morning to the man that brings in a lot of the smooth jazz music, Howard Captain Riddles. Now, what I called about, I've told you about my friend in Florida. I keep trying to get him to call you because he's under Trump derangement syndrome. I gave him the politics done right phone number, and I didn't like what he said when we were talking yesterday. He told me to tell you this, and I said, you need to tell him this when you call him. But he said to me, you should tell your friend Humberto to change that the politics done wrong. And I just told him, look, there's nothing wrong with what Humberto talks about. You need to discuss Donald Trump under him when you talk to him so he can give you his opinion. Now, this question I'm going to give you one question that he wanted me to ask you. So I'm going to ask, this is for you, Howard, and Jack. Now, you know I'm voting for Dr. Cornel West, and I like what Dr. Cornel West did last week when he went to that Columbia University and protested what Netanyahu's doing over there to those Judean people. So I admire him. That's a true activist when you do that, because he's been talking against what they've been doing to the Palestinians. I don't like to use Palestinian name. I just use Judean name because that's what they are. He's been doing that for decades. But he wanted to know, third party candidate, my friend wants to know, who will it hurt more? When people who choose to vote for either West or vote for Stein or vote for Robert Kennedy Jr., who will it hurt more? Will it hurt Biden more or will it hurt Trump more? And I did hear something on NPR yesterday saying that the Democrats said that if you don't vote for either Biden or Trump, you are just wasting your vote. I don't believe
all right,
that.
Let me answer that, Harry, and then I have to go to John. But let me just answer this real quickly. Okay. According to the latest polls, Kennedy actually hurts Donald Trump more so than Biden. 7% of Biden voters go to Kennedy. 15% of Trump voters go to Kennedy. So according to that poll. Okay. That's one poll. That poll, it hurts Trump more. But then there is also within the independents, you have Stein and Cornel West. And Cornel West and Stein only pulls from the progressive side of the aisle. So with these three guys, even with those three guys running, President Biden is currently ahead of Trump with all the players in the field. But Trump leads Biden in a one-on-one race, but not counting, again, when you add the numbers up, there's still a slack of over 11 points. So more than likely that 11 points would break for the president based on who those 11 points are. So right now, ahead in the race, if we were to do a 100% poll right now, it would show that Biden is ahead in the race. And my contention is that I think November will be a landslide for Biden. Nobody but one other Democratic pundit I know of is actually saying that as well. But I think it's going to be a landslide, right, not only for Biden, right, but for the whole progressive and Democratic side.
Right. And one more thing I'm going to say, let's keep our fingers crossed. The Stormy Daniels case starts today. So let's keep our fingers. I know you told me you think it's going to be a hung jury, but I hope and pray that Donald Trump does get convicted for this. And
thank you, Harry.
Before the election, and
I hear you, brother. Harry, let me tell you this. Harry, before you go. I don't want the choice of a president dependent on, we need Trump to be convicted. I want to make the case not for not electing Trump, but for electing somebody who will get progressive policies passed. We know that it won't happen under Trump, but it will happen under Biden. Yeah. And how do we know that? Because Biden has worked with the Progressive Caucus and passed quite a few progressive policies that he himself didn't agree with. But because he understood, that's where the country was. But thank you, Harry, as usual, always with some wise words.
I'm just about doing the right thing. That's why I want Trump accountable. That's why I
got
want
you,
that.
Brother. Gotta go, Harry. Thank you. John, come on in. How you doing, brother John?
Hey, Egberto. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, sir. Can I talk about immigration a little bit?
Absolutely.
Okay, so this weekend I went to a beautiful event. It was it's called the Indian Muslim Association of Greater Houston. So these are Indian Americans or Indian Americans who are Muslim. But it was very ecumenical, you know, Christians, Jews,
right,
Sikhs, every walk of life. They had some dignitaries speaking and so forth. But my point here, the very first thing they did at the beginning of the ceremony, at the beginning of the event, was sing the American National Anthem. Everyone stood. These are all immigrants or sons and daughters of immigrants. They all stood, put their hand on their heart, and did the best they could to sing the American National Anthem. Then they sang the Indian National Anthem, which was done in their language, which was beautiful. And just compare that to some of our brothers and sisters who may not appreciate being American or American citizens when they come to this country. I just want to get your thoughts on that.
Oh, I think that is great. Now, explain a little bit more about what you mean. My thoughts on what specifically?
Well, I know I'm as pro-immigrant as you can get, but legal, bureaucratic, measured, big gates, but legal. Make it shorter, easier. Become a legal immigrant. Not rush across the border like some of our. Hell, my sons would be rushing across the border if we didn't adopt them. So I'm very empathetic to that. But
yeah,
but be
okay.
But when you get here, be an American, fly that flag, and put your hand over your heart and sing the national anthem.
I do that all the time, right? I mean, I'm an immigrant. I'm from Central America. I'm from a place. Well, a lot of Panamanians don't come over through the border, because a lot of Panamanians are already here and we are able to sponsor other Panamanians, et cetera. But I try to say, put it this way, because I think if I'm understanding you correctly, you have a problem, like most of us, with what you're seeing at the border. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. And I think all of us have a problem with seeing what's at the border. And I think however, we need to look at it from the point of view is why is that occurring at the border, as opposed to looking at it from the point of view as those people coming over here illegally. One thing that human nature follows. Before I go into that, I'm going to tell you a United States tenet, okay? A United States tenet is, and this is actually in our policy, is that oil is an essential resource to the United States of America. It's a foundational resource of the United States of America. And any country who owns or sell oil, who decides to boycott America, that presents a clear and present danger to our society. And as such, if we have to do something militarily about it, we will. That's United States policy. We are, if a country, if we need oil and they refuse to sell it, we are going to get it for our survival. I haven't looked that policy up in a long time, but I remember when I found that out, I'm like, wait a minute, you mean you're saying if somebody decides, and that is when we weren't net positive in energy. We are net positive in energy now, but this was a time when we imported a large percentage of our energy. And we found it as existential to our country that we would go take it. All right, not take it for free, but make sure that that we get it. Now, we have created, America has, and if we want to talk about item for item, the corporations in America have made sure that treaties, both the treaties with Mexico, not the new NAFTA, I forgot what it's called, and also the treaty with Haiti and all these things put their economies at a disadvantage, which got a lot of farmers laid off. We have problems in Venezuela with the starvation of the people. With the people like to put the blame solely on the government. By the way, Maduro is a lousy president for Venezuela. I give that. But a lot of the problems within Venezuela are caused by, again, we deciding that they don't have this type of system we agree with, so we sanction them, we boycott them. Same thing with Cuba. We decide that we don't like their form of government, so we starve the nation. We make sure that they don't have. And we can go, if Americans understood what we've done in country after country after country to get our will, or because our corporations didn't get what they want, and it created dispersion in that country, people having to leave their land, etc. What will humans do? Humans find the best way out. And the best way out is come into America. And that's what they do. So if we want to solve the border problem, a wall isn't going to solve the border problem. A large percentage of the immigrants don't come through the wall. They come by air. They come by sea. They come in many different forms. That is just a visible thing that politicians can use right now. I think that most people don't see until politicians take cameras and put it there. Because we can actually, if we wanted to, we actually could and probably need to absorb a lot of those people to keep our country functioning. But nobody wants to really talk about the reality of that. What I'm saying, John, is the following. The problem at the border is really a creation of our government policy plus our corporate policies. That's what the border problem. And if we really want to solve the border problem, solve those two policies, and people don't just get up and want to jump across a border or go through the jungles in Panama called Daddy Inn. They don't want to do that. Nobody wants to do that unless they're... Their system is so bad that they do it. Now, look, there are some people that are gonna go ahead.
Yeah, they're desperate. I mean, right? I mean, you don't see a bunch of immigrants coming from Canada. It's because they're fleeing depraved societies. You know that
exactly. I mean,
Mexico must be one of the most environmentally rich countries, but there's corruption. The cartels and other Central American countries are rich in natural resources, and it's corrupt as hell.
John, can I interrupt a second? Because that is a sort of a loaded term. It's amazing that we know how to say these other countries are corrupt, right? We that rolls off our tongues easily, that Venezuela is corrupt, Cuba is corrupt. Notice all the countries that we claim are corrupt generally are countries that we would like to get natural resources from. Think about it. Think about all the countries we are concerned about that we decide to call corrupt. Look, when it comes to oil, Venezuela is swimming in oil. We never had an oil shortage. But why don't we exploit it? Because it's corrupt. Let me tell you something. Iran is corrupt. Why? Let me ask you something. Let me try to point something out. And by the way, we don't call America corrupt when we have our oil companies digging oil out of public lands and the people not getting the spoils out of the public land. But when a country
we're corrupt, we're just not as corrupt as the other ones.
Well, you know, really? I mean, look at it. We are just wealthy.
I think we have a fair share of corruption. It's the worst form of government except for all the others. You know, well,
All those phraseologies, John. Those are phrases that are impacted in placed in our minds that we can't be all that corrupt. We can or we are not as corrupt as others. My contention is that we are no less corrupt. We just have good experience in doing it well. And the American people pay the price. I mean, if we go item for item, right? And I'm talking about the countries we call corrupt. If we go item for item in a honest fashion, right? And look at our policies, one would see that there's not a whole lot of difference. My wife used to say things like, people are people. And we used to laugh and, that's so naive. And the truth of the matter is, humans under the same conditions react the same way. And I think when we start looking at, first of all, our businesses are no less corrupt than business across the pond or in Latin America. I mean, take a look at what we do in Latin America and we learn what corruption, they'll make it look like, well, it's the government down there that's corrupt. No, we are the corrupting influence when we have Chiquita Banana make certain types of deals with the oligarchs in these other countries, right? I mean, it is a hard perspective, John, to look at. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, that was the base. I mean, you would know more than I, but that was the basis upon the Cuban Revolution in 1959, right? All the moguls who owned all the fruit companies and banana companies and so forth. It's the agricultural side of the military industrial complex.
Yes.
I think, Roberto, you and I agree on probably 90% of it. My contention is that I'm son of immigrants with immigrant sons. I love immigration. But when you become an American, and be proud of being in America with all its flaws, all its bruises, all its blemishes.
I agree. I agree with you 100%. I actually, that is why I am doing what I'm doing. I mean, a friend of mine, I was complaining. He said, why the hell don't you get out of the country? And I'm like, look, when you're overseas, you learn about an America that is great and an America that is fair and an America that where there's all encompassing freedom. That's what we learn. Okay. I came over here and that's what I intend to live in. The promise is that there's this one country on the planet that represents all of that. And yeah, and I also believe, yeah, you should come to the America. If you're coming to America, bring your culture and be American. And that, because that's who America is. Panamanians who come here, we are, a group's put it called Pantex is putting is trying to bring a veterans parade or bring some firefighters and folks over here for the veterans parade in November. And one of the things that we are trying to promote, especially in this time where immigrants are getting a bad rap, is we're trying to show that, you know what? we've all came over here and fought for America. I have relatives that have died in the Korean War, Panamanians. I have relatives that have died in the Vietnam War, Panamanians. I have relatives that have died in Iraq. The guy who's putting this stuff together for the parade, he was in Iraq, and he called me during a bombing raid that, missiles coming into the base in the Green Zone. So most immigrants that come over here, John, are Americans, or feel American, or because they are Americans and they're protecting America and they're making America a better place. So I am with you. You said 90%. You're saying we're together 90%. I'm saying we're together 99.9%. All right.
Yeah. And so finally, when they're singing the national anthem at this Indian Muslim Association gathering, I said, this is what makes America great. I mean, these people in their traditional garments with their, I don't even know, it's the Muslim form of a yarmulke.
Right.
I don't even know what it's
called. Right.
But it's, as I said, God damn, this is awesome.
Yes, this is just, it is.
Yeah,
it is. It is. And, we all love, I like engulfing myself in just about every culture out here, whether it be Italian, Irish, Nigerian, whatever. I love it all. But thank you, my brother. You have a good one. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, brother. Take care. Yes, sir.
All right. Okay. All right. Let's go to Donald. El Señor Donald, mi hermano. ¿Cómo estás? Talk to me, Donald.
Good morning. This is when you start singing Proud to Be American. You got a porn star, a tabloid guy, a weasel, and a pinup model all in the same courtroom. How good is their testimony?
Only Donald would start his questioning that way. I don't know, man. I don't know. I think it's a joke.
Yes, sir. Okay, and then with TikTok, let's go ahead and just present this to the Chinese government. Take all the damn filters off of your people and let them see what our people see, and then we'll be okay with it. I don't see a problem with TikTok. Why do they see such a problem with it that their people can't even see the content, yet they own the business?
You know,
that's simple. Just put it right back on them.
Look, I'm telling you something, okay? First of all, I've spoken about TikTok. It's crazy to ban TikTok. I think it's unconstitutional to ban TikTok, and I think it's going to the courts. But that said, we are not China, and China are not us. China is scared for its people to see freedom. We are scared for our people to see the truth. I think it is crazy. But Donald, we'll talk another time. So thank you so kindly, my friend.
And then there's the point that the bottom line is, who's not getting paid? That's all this is about.
They want to get it.
Them to get paid for all of it. Back to, why do we have to cover everything up with all these bills and all this tag-along stuff? Do them one at a time. Those guys got plenty of time sitting on their butts up there to go through these one at a time and say yay or nay. So why are we still putting all this stuff together? And what do you think of Mike Doss's performance? I know there is slush funds in there and everything is that go against his whole grain and character. But you know what? It's politics. And sometimes you got to be.
I think everybody is commending. Let me tell you, I spoke to somebody I spoke to Joe Walsh, he was a former MAGA guy that I spoke to, and I told him it took courage to do what he did. And the same thing I'm talking to about Mike Johnson. I hate Mike Johnson's policies, but Mike Johnson put country before party on Friday, which you got to commend the person. You don't have to agree with the person, but you have to commend them irrespective of what their party is. And the same thing was done by Tony Gonzalez from South Texas yesterday on CNN. I have that to play, but if I don't play it, go to politicsandright.com/newsletter to see the video that I cut from Tony Gonzalez. But anyhow, thank you, Donald. My phones are filling up. I got to go to Jim. Okay.
Have a good one. Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
Thank you, brother. Jim, come on in. Jim, you are hot.
Can I add something? Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, you can add something, Jim.
This point about the issue about
immigration that I think you're pretty much spot on. There's another aspect of immigration a lot of people don't see. There's an aspirational versus a situational, meaning there's people now, because I used to live in Dominican Republic and also Guatemala, that people see generations that have migrated before and said, oh, I'm going to do that too. I was in Guatemala 2 weeks ago, and there's, I mean, people do it now, not because they're starving, because of the quote unquote corrupt governments, because while Uncle, you know, Tio Manuel did it, I'm going to do it. Another aspect of it is there's something called educational tourism that a lot of people don't know about. I'm a teacher in some of the school in Latin America. You graduate at 17. Usually when kids graduate, especially in Colombia, they'll come here and they'll go to the public schools and they can learn English that way. I'm not saying everybody does it, but in the almost 30 years that I've taught, it's pretty common to have kids, especially from South America, come in after they graduate, enter in the public school, stay for a year, learn English, then move on.
Right. You know, there are a lot of reasons. And, you know, while we complain a lot about what's happening on the border, but, you know, we have free reign around the world and we are everywhere. I mean, and that's that, you know, if, I mean, look, we are everywhere in the world. You find Americans everywhere, loved everywhere. And that's what a lot of people don't think. These people that are all negative about these immigrants and put, you know, put some sort of hate on them, they don't understand that you were in Guatemala. You were loved in Guatemala. I don't even have to ask you.
Oh, yeah.
I just know you were loved in Guatemala. Same with Americans coming to Panama or going anywhere. People love Americans, the people. All over the world.
Oh, you're right.
Right. And we are all over the world. Americans, that is, all over the world. And, you know, I want to give a big kudos to America on one thing. One thing great about America is a foreigner can come over here and become a true American by all rights except one. And that they can't be president, but every other right, all countries don't share that same constitutional support for immigrants. And I think, given our history, that's a requirement, but it's a great requirement that you can come and become a real American, because the truth is we are all immigrants, and we have to commend America for having those policies. This stuff with immigration right now, with the hate that's being created, we can mitigate We can mitigate that. We are a great country. There is no doubt. Okay.
Well, there's now, the way that they're portrayed, and I'm sorry, I interrupted.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Jim.
No, that you're right. Our country's freaking awesome, but there's just some misinformation. I will throw that stuff out. It's not I've been working around immigrants forever, and there's for every immigrant, they have a different reason for coming here. And the hate, here's one thing. I'm going to back up my country. I was in Colombia and Peru last summer. When I was in Peru, outside the what was it, the administration of Trabajo or something like that, there was a line of like 300 Venezuelans trying to get work permits. And they were protesters. They were Peruvian people are just tossing all sorts of hate on them. And in Colombia, I was in Bogota, I think right before I was in Peru, and the same thing. They're just being dissed upon by everybody. They don't. They there's a bad word. I won't say it on the word. A new word they call Venezuelans. It starts with a V and ends with, well, say the last part, but it's everywhere. Humans diss on people. It's a human thing. It's not an American thing. I'll tell you right now.
Exactly.
Garífunas are not considered. You know what garífunas are?
Oh, of course. Are not.
Oh, you should see how they're treated by us. And I've been in Honduras a long time. It's bad. They're not.
They live on the northern coast, on the Caribbean coast. Yeah. But look, let me tell you, my brother, it is, you know, and again, a lot of this stuff is what's instilled to us by division allows a small amount of people to control us. And that is what we have to get away from. And as we get more educated, and America is supposed to be a more educated country, we have the resources to do that. We need to supersede those bad values. But Jim, I got to go to Joe. Thank you very much for giving us a call. All right.
Great program. Bye-bye.
Thank you, brother. Let's go to Brother Joe. Come on in, Joe. How are you doing this morning, sir?
Oh, man, I'm tired, but making it. How about you?
I'm fine. Why are you tired? Did you work hard this weekend, brother?
Yeah, I did.
All right, talk to me, man.
Hey, so y'all are going on about immigration, but there's just way too much immigration going on right now. The laws are not being enforced, and really the poor are the ones to suffer. The rich idealists are very happy about this virtuous immigration. You can flee your country and come here, but really it's the poor who take it on the chin, because their jobs, their schools, there's not enough infrastructure to handle all of that. But where we left off last time was basically war dead, and I found a nice database at a Swedish university. The paper is called Organized Violence Since 1989 to 2022 by Davies, Patterson, and Oberg. I plotted the data going back from 2002 to 2022, and surprisingly enough, Obama's first term, he was at 36,000 to 43,000 deaths a year, according to their criteria. There's multiple criteria. One of them, this criteria, is that one of the participants in the conflict has to be government sponsored. There's all kinds. There's massacres. Dyadic, or it's where they just count the two governments that are fighting each other. But it seemed that this was the best one to look at because it captured more organized violence. But then in Obama's second term in 2012, it jumps from 33,000 to 83, then 108,000, then 131,000, and 119,000 in 2015. And this is a big rise, right? And then in 2016, there's still 105,000. But then in 2017, Trump's in office and it drops to 81,000, 64,000. 61,453 was his lowest number in 2019. 2020, it comes up to 72,650. 2021, it doubles to 143,330. And in 2022, there were 303,000 organized violence deaths, five times what Trump had, and the highest since 1984. Right. So don't tell me that Joe Biden isn't bad for the world. This is blood on his hands. And to support him is just, the level of rationalization and denial that you have to be in is amazing to me. The numbers don't lie.
I tell you what, do me a favor. OK, because, I'm a data driven person. So I can't really comment
you
on
want
your
it?
Send it to KPFT at politicsdoneright.com, KPFT at politicsdoneright.com. I can't comment on what you just said. I have to read what we're talking about, and then I'll be more than happy to talk about it. All right. Does that sound fair?
I'll send it your way.
Thank you, my brother. I appreciate the information. I'll take a look at it. All right. Let's go to Brian.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian. How you doing, my brother?
Good. How about you?
I'm fine. Talk to me.
Okay. First off, it'd be very hypocritical of me if I had something bad to say about immigration because my wife is from Beijing, China, correct? Okay. I'm not saying anything bad about immigration, but you have to enforce the laws, the existing laws. You don't need more border laws. You need to enforce the ones that we have now, simply because this country can only assume responsibility for so many women selling flowers on the corner. How many people do you see that are probably illegal aliens at the Home Depot? I've been going to a restaurant. I'm not going to say the name of it. It's on North Houston Roslyn. It's run by Anna and Julio. They have to pay their taxes. They have to pay salaries. They have to pay rent and the permits and everything to run a business. They have to have an accountant. They have to pay sewage. And they're having a hard time competing to a man across the street that's selling breakfast tacos out of a gold Corolla. It makes it kind of difficult for them.
That's okay. All right. I hear you, Brian. And it's, I understand the concept of if you have somebody that doesn't have to have a storefront and doesn't have to follow regulations, et cetera, that's a problem. Look, I am not going to. When you make a good point, you make a good point. And the point that you made there is good. Now, as far as the immigration problem, you know, what I said still stands. The problem isn't at the border. The problem is what creates the problem at the border. So if we can, first of all, just telling me to follow the law is not going to work, because if somebody is attempting to harm your wife and you have to go around the law to protect the life of your wife, you will do so. That's just human nature. And I'm saying much of what's occurring at the border is human nature, and it's human nature because of policies that we created. We can actually get to a good place, Brother Brian, if we started, instead of looking at this in a factional manner, in looking at it through the numbers and looking at it through humanity and looking at it through fairness as well. That person that is undocumented, that is selling the tacos out of his car, that, you know, there are many Americans who as well would be doing similar things, not following regulations, et cetera, right? We crack down on everybody so that we have some modicum of not putting that other person that's following the rules at risk. I am with you there. We have to do something to protect Julio and Anna, right? But protecting Julio and Anna doesn't mean being vicious with Jose or Abdullah or whatever our undocumented immigrant is. There are solutions to the problems that we should, humane solutions to these issues, as opposed to getting pissed off and mad and at each other's throat about it. That's what I'm saying. All right, Brian?
Yeah.
Thank you, brother.
Brian, have a good day.
You too, my brother. Bye. I welcome Liz Townsend and Eric Hayes in the chat. I've got just enough time to play the piece on the hearing. No, I don't. Darn it. Hey, folks, go to politicsunright.com/newsletter. There are two important videos on that I did. It's all well documented. And hear the hearing aid scam what I call a hearing aid scam, in my humble opinion. That affect older people. Maybe I'll still play it tomorrow if I get a chance to. But like I always say, I prefer talking to all of you. I have about 3 minutes to burn. Anybody wants to call 713-526-5738, 713-526-5738. Before I go on another monologue, let me see if Howard or Jack wants to add anything to the discussion.
Well, I was just wondering where Johnny is, where the mayor of Politics Done Right is.
Yeah.
We hadn't talked to him. Did he call Friday? Well, I wouldn't know.
I think he did, but he's been having migraines, yeah. You know, or something. He's, he's been having a few things. So, I hope he's okay. You know, we love you here, Mayor of Politics Done Right. But anything else, Howard?
There was some dissatisfaction expressed about burying these things in bills earlier. So I'm glad I'm not the only one that sees this.
Yeah, Donald spoke about that.
Yeah, it's just an outrageous way of doing things. It's sneaky. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, well, we'll just put this in this little bill over here and it'll pass. And as soon as it hits Joe Biden's desk, he's already said, well, I'm going to sign it. If I were Joe Biden, I would get some balls and say, no. You take that out of there. This is a violation of the First Amendment. It's electronic, but it's also a violation of the First Amendment. And China doesn't even own that much of TikTok.
No.
I mean, really, honestly, and I don't know how much influence they have over it or how much access they have to the data, which is probably all of it, which is another lesson for all of us. If you don't want it out there, don't put it out there.
Exactly.
So, you know,
The thing with TikTok that I really want folks to understand is this scare that they're bringing with TikTok is just that it's a scare that likely Facebook and Google and all of them want, they're kind of quiet about because they don't want to seem like they're involved. But really, all it is a gift to those other companies because the truth of the matter is all the data that TikTok will provide to China, if they are doing that, China can buy off the free market right this minute.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, so I mean, it is nonsensical to really go after TikTok the way they are. TikTok, I must say, it's a great platform, and I love it. I I'm on all of them. I'm on TikTok. I'm on Instagram. I promote Politics Done Right on every single one of those platforms. And believe it or not, the best platform that's working for me right now is one called Newsbreak, which is not a TikTok, which is not the social media everybody talks about, but it's the one that puts out that I get the most information out in. But the thing about it is you would never know that because they're just concerned about shutting this one with 170 million viewers down. And I think people need to stand up.
You do know why they're doing it.
Yes.
Because of all the information coming from Palestine, the news that you can get off of TikTok, which some of it's not true. Most of it is. So it's a freedom of speech thing, even if you're wrong. Yeah. So anyway, I wanted to stop and thank everybody who showed up on Saturday night for the Lyle Lovett and Jesse Dayton benefit concert for KPFT. There was a great crowd there. Absolutely. And I got a chance to go behind the scenes and talk to Lyle Lovett and Jesse Dayton. And I've got some sound bites from them that I'll be playing on the air pretty soon. I've got to work on them. But it was just a really good turnout, a good show, very orderly folks. You know, nobody got out of hand. And it was just a really good time. And we all had a good time. And Jack, you got anything for us here in the last like 10 seconds?
Yeah. You know, when it comes down to Biden and Trump fighting a war, if Trump was still in there, he'd be fighting this same war in Ukraine, which I consider to be a proxy war. To get at all China. Right.
Thank you very much, my brothers. Anyway, thank all our people. Thank you so kindly for being a part of Politics Done Right. I love you all. Go to politicsdoneright.com/newsletter, politicsdoneright.com/newsletter for the items we didn't cover. My name is Egberto Willis. This is Politics Done Right, and you guys know how I end this, baby. I am what? Out. We spend a lot of time deconstructing the news, trying to parse it into a form that everybody can understand. We try to find those little nitpicks where it flies above the fray, etc. If you really like these videos that we do, I want to ask a big favor. Please go ahead, number one, subscribe to our channel, and number two, please join if you can. Thank you so kindly for watching. Keep watching. Please remember to share. We must populate the entire internet with our progressive message, a message that we know is what most Americans say that they want. So help us, please join.